Welcome to PGAFC Pulpit Ministry, a ministry that is committed to the preaching of the Word to transform lives.
Good morning. Shalom. It's been 8 months since I was last up here, and how time flies, yeah? And thank you, Reverend Alexa, for making sure I remain useful by inviting me to speak. I also want to personally welcome two families here who graciously accepted my invitation to worship us this morning. Welcome. Well, Swan and I are busy grandparenting our three little ones. This is Asher, my two-year-old grandson. He is curious, he is friendly, and he is also handsome and demanding. Everyone loves him, but his parents nicknamed him Lambo, short for Lamborghini. Good to look at, expensive to maintain. Asher just started to talk in full sentence. And one of his very first was clutching a book in his hand. He walked up to me and he demanded, "Chow Jian, read book." Nana says, well, children are curious. And in this photo, Asher is looking up to his parents. Perhaps he is asking, "Papa, Mama, what do you want me to know about you? What do you want me to know about you?" And that's the question I have for you today. What does Jesus like you to know most about himself? What does Jesus like you to know most about himself? And we will come back later to this question. This morning, we continue our series on Jesus leading to Christmas. And today's sermon is on Jesus' gift. And the gift I want to talk about is Jesus' gift of rest. Rest for your souls. Our Bible text is Matthew 11, 28, 30. And let's read them aloud together, shall we? Let's read them aloud together. "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Let's pray together, yeah? Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, enlighten us on what you mean by "I am gentle and lowly in heart." Enable us to come to you and learn from you, and grant us this gift of rest, rest for our souls. And we boldly ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, early this year, Swan and I, we were at Regent College, Vancouver. And there we attended the course, Theology and Mental Health, by John Swindon. And his book, Finding Jesus in the Storm, The Spiritual Lives of Christians with Mental Health Challenges, has blessed many, both counselors and mental health sufferers. We were very much enriched by the interactions of over 100 international participants there. And they were health workers, doctors, psychiatrists, psychologists, therapists, pastors and elders, palliative care nurses, and mental health sufferers themselves. A remark by John Swinton stuck in my mind. And he says, the church is a shalomic community for sufferers, a safe and welcoming community. And we need to be gentle like Jesus. Gentle like Jesus. And this caught my attention. Oops, that's not what I want. Why is it jumping? Yep. And this caught my attention. You know, we all know gentleness is the eighth of the nine fruit of the Spirit. And gentleness is one that I most desire. Because by nature, I am not a gentle person. And friends, and my family members too, they nickname me a rough diamond. Why is the thing jumping? That's right. And at the bookstore, I pick up the book, Gentle and Lowly, The Heart of Christ for Sinners and Sufferers. And the author, a pastor and a theologian, he wrote, Christians know what Jesus Christ has done, but who is He? What is His deepest desire for His people who are very fluttering in their journey towards heaven? So I want to share some observation with you from the Bible text. Let me make sure it doesn't jump. Let me share the flow. First, I want to look at the words heart, gentle, and lowly, and then touching on yoke, learn, and rest. And lastly, some application, only two application, and there will be an opportunity for you to respond through the closing song. Okay, let's look at Jesus' heart. I am gentle and lowly in heart. You know, in the Bible, the heart is much, much more than just our emotional life. For example, in Proverbs 4:23, it reads, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it, from the heart, flows the springs of life. The heart drives all we do. It is what gets us out of bed in the morning. It is what we daydream before we drift off to sleep at night. The heart is our motivation headquarters. So, what drives Jesus? What is the motivation headquarters of our Lord? In all the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all 89 chapters, only once, Jesus tells us about His own heart. And only in that one place, the Son of God allows us to gaze into the innermost core of who He is. And He wants us to see this. He wants us to see this. I am gentle and lowly in heart. And this is what Jesus liked you and me to know most about Himself. If Jesus today hosted His own personal website in His About Me page, I am gentle in heart would stand out prominently. Let's look at heart. I am gentle in heart. Let's look at the word gentle. You know, the Greek word for gentle here is praus, and it occurs just 4 times in the whole of the New Testament, while the corresponding noun, gentleness, is 11 times. So let's look at where these 3 places praus is used. First, in Matthew 5:5, the meek shall inherit the earth. And the word meek here is praus. In Matthew 21:5, in the prophecy of Zechariah, behold, your king is coming, humble, praus, and mounted on a donkey. And then in 1 Peter 3:4, Peter encourages the wives of unbelieving husbands, to nurture in their hearts the imperishable beauty of a gentle praus and a quiet spirit. So praus is gentle, humble, and lowly. And the English word gentle associates it with weakness. And the Greeks and the Romans during Jesus' time honor self-assertiveness, those who stood up for their rights, while the helpless acted subdued with gentleness. But we Christians, we flip the connotation, making gentleness a badge of honor, not a cause for shame or weak. So don't mistake the Bible gentle as the world does with weakness. Praus is not weak. It is not cowardly. It is not a wimp. Do we think of Jesus as weak? Of course not. He is all-powerful, but He comes with gentleness, holding back His power. He rides on a donkey, the symbol of peace, not on a horse of an army general. Praus is the fruit of power. It is strength under control. You know, early this month, 7 of us here, we attended the All Asia EFC conference in Japan. And you can read about it on the wine press. And from Narita Airport to our bus pickup point, it's quite a long distance. And we have to walk up and down several imposing stairs without escalators. A heavy task. A near impossible task for me and Swan, each with a 15-kilo luggage. Pastor Yu Yong came to our rescue. And holding one luggage in each hand, he carried our burdens up and down the stairs. Up and down the stairs, he walked, his bulging biceps showing. And for Pastor Yu Yong, sup sup soya. And on my iPhone, I counted 16 flaws. But we all know that Pastor Yu Yong is proud, is gentle. He possesses strength under control, like a tame stallion. Jesus is gentle in heart. I am lowly, tapenos, the Greek word, in heart. And the word lowly overlaps with that of gentle. So together, gentle and lowly communicates a single reality about Jesus' heart. And the word lowly is generally translated humble in the New Testament. So we read, for example, in James 4 verse 6, God opposes the proud, but give grace to the humble, to the lowly. And in Proverbs 12:16, the Apostle Paul tells us not to be haughty, not to be arrogant, not to be proud, but associate with the lowly. And typically in the New Testament, the Greek word refers not to lowly or humility as a virtue. The virtue is a morally good quality. But it refers to lowly in the sense of being destitute, in the sense of being thrust downward by life circumstances, such as being extremely poor and lacking the means to provide for oneself, or being afflicted by a painful or terminal disease. And this distinction is important. For example, our refugees, brethren, they are lowly because they are destitute by life circumstances. I am not destitute, although I have compassion and provide for them. Here we see Paul commands us to associate with the lowly, not to avoid them. People in low positions, people with low estate, the socially unimpressive. Jesus, however, identifies himself with the lowly, with the destitute, with those who are suffering. And we read in the Bible, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a servant. Philippians 2:6. I am gentle and lowly, says Jesus. I am kind, compassionate. I am accessible, approachable. I am not harsh. I'm not trigger happy. I'm meek. I'm humble. I am slow to anger, but I am firm against hypocrisy. I am the most understanding person in the universe. And the posture most natural to Jesus is not a pointed finger, but open arms. You know, in my garden, I have a fish pond, a small one. And my four-year-old granddaughter, Ellie, she likes to play around with my rod and line. And I show her where to find garden earthworms and use them as bait. Well, it's at the compost bin, yeah, around there, smelly with rotting vegetables. And she helped out her nose. Yuck! What is that smell? Yeah, yeah. And then we found worms. And she cringed. She hesitated to touch the repulsive wiggling worms. You know, whatever bad smelly or repulsive your situation is, no matter how far you have gone away from the Lord, He does not hold His nose. When He welcomes you, He does not cringe when He touches you. With open arms, Jesus embraces you because He identifies with you. I am gentle and lowly in heart. Your life will be transformed if you embrace this reality of Jesus in your lives. So let's continue with our text. And we ask ourselves, who is Jesus inviting? What is this yoke? And what is this rest? Well, obviously, Jesus is inviting all who labored and are heavy laden. All who labored, active, striving, working tirelessly, running around endlessly, full of responsibilities, laboring. All who are heavy laden, heavy load, pressures of life, trouble, anxieties, shame, insurmountable debts, marriage on the brink of divorce, conviction of sins, desperate, no way out, no way to cope. You know, one time I was fishing. There was a man, middle-aged, next to me, and I tried to talk to him. Even as he held the rod in his hand, his mind was not with him. And all he could say to me was, give a very heavy, exhausting sigh. And again. You know, fishing, you can see people like that. He was obviously very frustrated, obviously laden with something so heavy that he could not see a way out of it. In Matthew 23:4, they, which Jesus is referring to the scribes and the Pharisees, the religious leaders, they tied up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on people's shoulders. But they themselves are not willing to move them with their fingers. You know, the religious leaders at the time, they preach very strict adherence to the law. And on top of that, they added many other religious rules and traditions. They make them hard to bear. They make religious life laboring and oppressive. Jesus called them hypocrites, and they offered no help to lessen the people's burden. But Jesus presents a better way. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Take my yoke upon you. Isn't that odd? Hey, come on, Jesus. You are supposed to lift my load, not add on them. You're supposed to reduce my labor, not add another yoke on me. And what is this yoke? It is a yoke of learning. Learn from me. Learn from me the things I am trying to teach you. This is the yoke of learning. And in 1 John 5, 2, verses 2 to 4, we read this. By this, we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome. The commandment is the yoke. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. God's commandments, that's the yoke. They are not burdensome. They are not. Something happens when you love God and obey His commandments. Something happens. When we love God and obey His commandments, all our earthly desires, the pressures to conform to this world, they are overcome. They are broken. The root of worldly love is severed. And the yoke of Jesus supplants all other worldly desires. When we love God's word, when we delight in His ways, we overcome the world. We are no longer laboring for other things. And this is the victory we have in Jesus Christ. And the victory that overcomes the world is faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit helps us to overcome. He helps us, unlike the religious leaders who offer no help. The Holy Spirit helps us when we pursue all the other worldly desires. We have no help. We are on our own. There is help from God when we obey His commandments, because the Holy Spirit's delight in helping those who delight in obeying His commandments. And by faith, we will experience His empowerment. And when we live our lives in obedience to God, we find rest for our souls. Well, the Hebrew word for rest means to be at peace, to be still, to be quiet, to be calm. Yes, of course, physical weariness is distressing. But it is worse to have a soul that is laboring and crushed under the heavy burdens of things that we have learned in the wrong way. Rest is not the absence of work or trials of sufferings. It is a deep inner peace that sustains us through life difficulties. Jesus' rest is a deep spiritual and emotional peace for the soul, a relief from the heavy burdens of sin and life worries and anxieties. Well, let me quickly summarize before I go to application. Two things to remember. If you learn these two things this morning, I would have achieved my sermon objective. Number one, Jesus is gentle and lowly in heart. No matter how bad or how low your situation is, He welcomes you with open arms. This is who Jesus is. He identifies with you. Come as you are. Whoever comes to me, I will never cast out, says Jesus. Number two, obey His commandments. This is Jesus' yoke on you. And as you live your lives obeying His commandment, Jesus will supplant all the other worldly yokes, and you will find rest for your souls. His commandments is not troublesome, yeah? It is light. It is easy. And we have help from the Holy Spirit. The world is passing away, brothers and sisters, along with its desires. But the one who does the will of God abides forever. Okay, application. Application, I have two. First one is, of course, desire gentleness. And under this point, I have two sub-points, interesting verses. One that talks about God's gentleness has made me great. And then, instruction in the Bible that we need to be gentle with other people. And number two, of course, that's where I end. Come to Jesus, find rest for your souls. Let's look at them one by one. Desire gentleness. Desire, seek, cultivate gentleness, a fruit of the Spirit. First sub-point, God's gentleness has made me great. You know, I wish I have known this verse a lot earlier in my early Christian life. You have given me the shield of salvation, and your right hand supported me, and your gentleness made me great. God's gentleness has made me great. Interesting, isn't it? Godly gentleness can make someone great. Now, of course, we need to understand what greatness is in the Christian context. It is not worldly greatness. Yeah, worldly greatness is superiority, status, authority. Greatness for Christian is following the Lord, serving others. And Jesus said to His disciples, Jesus says to all of us, whoever want to be great among you, what? You must be your servant. Your gentleness can make someone great. You want your children to be great? You want your grandchildren to be great? Well, apply gentleness. Apply gentleness. You know, I wish I had learned gentleness in my early years. I was not a gentle person, especially to those closest to me, my wife and my children. They see all my imperfections, and I have made mistakes as a husband and a father. But I pray I will do a better job as a grandfather. Second sub-point, be gentle. The Bible tells us to be gentle when we relate to unbelievers, when we relate to those who are spiritually weak. With unbelievers, we are to speak evil of no one. We are to avoid quarreling. We are to be gentle. We are to show courtesy to all people. With unbelieving husbands, wives, Let your imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit inside you shine out. With people who ask us questions, always be ready to give a reason for your faith with gentleness and respect. With people who oppose us, we should correct them with gentleness so that God may perhaps grant them repentance and lead them to truth. And with our weaker brothers, we should restore them in a spirit of gentleness. And in each case, we deal with the person, with the truth, and we trust God to change their hearts. Well, my second application point, my last, is come to Jesus and find rest for your souls. What Jesus is, He does. He cannot act in any other way. His life proves His heart. Our Lord moves towards those who come to Him. Like the prodigal son, yeah? The father is waiting, watching. He moves towards you, not away from you. He touches, He heals, He embraces, He forgives. He reaches those who least deserve it. And in the Bible, you have so many accounts of Jesus' example. The woman caught in adultery, and Jesus responded gently to her, telling the crowd, "Let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her." And the leper who came to Jesus, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." "I will be clean." And Jesus touched him. And to the friends who brought their paralyzed friend, Jesus saw their faith. "Take heart, my son. Your sins are forgiven." And Jesus healed him. The sinners, the marginalized, the harassed, the helpless, Jesus had compassion upon them. Jesus shared meals with tax collectors. His enemies call him a friend of sinners. And Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who needs a doctor, but the sick." Twice, Jesus wept. He wept over Jerusalem. He wept over his dead friend Lazarus. And in both of these cases, it is sorrow over another, not for himself. The tears of others draw out his own tears. His deepest anguish is the anguish of others. The desperate woman with an issue of blood, she stretched out her hands to touch Jesus. Jesus healed her. "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." "I am gentle and lowly in heart," says Jesus. "This is who I am. And my compassion will come in waves over and over again." Well, there are only two steps for you to find rest for your soul. The first is go to Jesus. Go to Jesus. You know, blessed are you if you have cultivated the habit of regularly going to Jesus to find rest. It is also a habit of mine. Just now, when preparing this sermon, while I was preparing this sermon, it is stressful. Sermon preparation is always very stressful for me, particularly this one when it is an unfamiliar topic. Therefore, I am always anxious. Sometimes I develop guilt feelings. Have I prepared enough, Lord? Have I prayed enough? And at the last minute, I tell God, "Lord, This is all I can do. I can do no more. I am tired. All I can give you is my one fish and five loaves. I surrender this to you. Use it, multiply it, use it for your glory. And strangely enough, peace, peace comes into my heart. Real peace, not academic peace you read about in a book. Huh? Real experiential peace. If step one is to go to Jesus, what is step two? And here I end my sermon, and I appeal to you to go to Jesus. Step two is C number one. Whatever is crumbling all around you, my friends, wherever you feel stuck or defeated, Jesus' heart is for you. He is gentle and lowly. So go to Him, go to Him. Your tears is His tears. Your anguish, His anguish. So go to Jesus. And if you knew His heart, friends, if you knew His heart, you would go to Him. Well, the closing song, Behold Messiah. God the Father has given us the greatest gift in history, His Son, Jesus Christ, our Messiah, our salvation. And Jesus' gift to us, to you and me, is rest. Rest for your soul. And if you want to respond, if God has spoken to you this morning, can I ask you that as you sing, be like the woman with the blood issue. Stretch out your hands in faith to Jesus. Reach out to Him. Touch Jesus, and He will give you rest. Let us pray. Let us be quiet before the Lord and think about the words of Jesus, how it applies to you. Yes, Lord, You are my hope. You are my helper. I stretch out my hands to You for help. You are gentle and lowly in heart. I understand that now. This is who You are. You identify with my problems. Here I am, Lord. I come to You to find rest. I want to be more gentle with my loved ones. This is me, Lord, Your child. And as I sing, I stretch out my hands to You. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
You have been listening to a sermon from PJEFC. We hope you have been blessed by the message. For more sermons, please go to www.pjefc.org. Love God, love people, make disciples.